Proverbs on livelihood issues. Livelihood issues today concern a lot of people. Here in the United States, a key inflation measure jumped in March as gas prices soared, the latest sign that the Iran war is pushing up the cost of living and delaying any interest rates and interest rate cuts by the Federal Reserve. We actually relatively have it easy. Gases are up. $4.50 a gallon. We just learned the other day that in one African country it's up to over $12 a gallon. So it's really, really tough in other places as well. In addition, a hidden force is quietly pushing up costs for everything from your summer vacation to your weekly grocery bills. A weaker U.S. dollar. Kenneth Rogoff, a Harvard University economist and former chief economist at the International Monetary Fund, claimed that the dollar had been on a 15-year bull run. I would argue the dollar is still wildly overvalued, and over the next maybe 5 or 6 years, it might fall another 15%. To overcome such challenges, saving is the foundation of financial security and the seed capital for a better retirement, but low-income households fail to save because when you live paycheck to paycheck, locking money in an account you cannot access without incurring penalties, such as IRAs, 401ks, and 529s, is risky. People in other countries have recently complained about the rising cost of living. Activists worldwide held May Day rallies and street protests, calling for peace, higher wages, and better working conditions as many workers grapple with rising energy costs and shrinking purchasing power tied to the Iran war. Microsoft 365 Copilot Search, which is an online AI-powered search engine, last Wednesday responded to the request, quote, news on uncertainty in the economy and the stock market by summing, quote, the current environment is defined by high uncertainty, from central bank policy shifts to geopolitical risks and inflation spikes, end of quote. So the question we ask is, does God's wisdom give insight on securing a good, secure livelihood for today? If so, how? God's wisdom, his chokmah, or as his fixed eternal moral order for success and blessings, applies to many issues of life, including mankind's livelihood concerns. So we view key proverbs in the book of Proverbs that instruct us on meeting our livelihood needs. In the month of February, I canvassed the entire book of Proverbs when we had a cancellation of one of our Sunday morning services because I had the time to do it, and went through and organized the book of Proverbs according to topics. And I'm just dealing with one topic, and this seems to be a hot issue. I've talked to many people about this. So I found in making this summary, I found 10 major factors that exists for succeeding in meeting our livelihood needs. Factor one, we must be personally righteous to be securely blessed with our livelihood. Now, not all people who are righteous become fabulously wealthy, and not all fabulously wealthy people are righteous, but for a secure livelihood, this is what's needed. Righteousness and sin lead to great contrasts in material want and bounty. Due to God's involvement in one's actions, one's righteousness gives him financial security, and his sin leads him to poverty, according to Proverbs 10:3, 22:4, 10:22, 11:18, 15:6, 16:8, and 19. Righteousness and sin also lead to great contrasts in one's destiny. The income of the upright is life to them and financial security, where wealth gained by sin brings punishment, a deadly snare, and a shameful death. Proverbs 10:16, 21:6, 10:2, 11:4, 11:19, and 20:17. So it's very important to stay righteous. And the reason for that, I believe, is that God is involved in our lives. And he alternately blesses and alternately disciplines based upon whether people are in right relationship with the Lord. There's a verse in another passage of Scripture that says, I've been young and have been old, and I have not yet seen the children of the righteous begging for bread. So obviously God has a tendency to protect people who are righteous. Factor two, also the upright who trust in God will thrive, where those who trust in amassed riches will fall. So if a person has a group of collected riches sometimes can take wings as an eagle and fly away. That's what the Bible says. So we need to trust in God. Factor two, we must be just in our business dealings to be securely blessed with our livelihood as well. Differing weights, measures, and scales used in business, where one uses one set of measures to buy and another set of measures to sell so he can cheat others, are abomination to the Lord. In other words, you use larger measures and larger weights for buying and smaller weights and measures for selling. And that way you can make a profit just on the different measures that you make. God hates that. Conversely, just sales and balances are from the Lord and his making. For good business people do not cheat their customers out of reverence for God and their sense of accountability to him. Today we have something that's similar. You'll have a ketchup bottle, and what you used to buy and the size of the ketchup bottle maybe 10 years ago would be a little bigger, but now the ketchup bottle, same price or a little higher price, and the bottle's a little smaller. So they're squeezing it out of the customer. Factor three, we must be helpful to the poor to be securely blessed with our livelihood. If one exploits the poor due to their financial vulnerability, God will plunder the one who exploits them, according to Proverbs 22, 22 and 23, and 22:16. And if one charges high interest to the poor, the income gained from the interest will go to some other party who will be kind to the poor, Proverbs 28:8. Poor people and rich people have something that they have in common, and that is that they both bear the image of God. So it's very important to treat another person who's made in the image of God as if God is looking over our shoulder, because he's concerned about how we treat that person. Factor four, we must avoid greed to be securely blessed with our livelihood. Proverbs 20, 21, 28, 22, and 29, 24. Greed is actually a form of covetousness, according to Colossians. And covetousness is a form of idolatry. So we've got to be real careful to avoid greed. Factor five, we must function diligently in the workplace to be securely blessed with our livelihood. We should select a sound career field to make a good living or suffer poverty. Proverbs 12:11 and 28:19 says that he that chases after fancies in regards to his career is going to suffer for it. Whereas he that works his land, and remember, working your land was a basic source of income in Israel at the time, he will have plenty of food. So it's important to choose the right kind of career field. And then second, we should harness our sense of financial need as an incentive to work well. Proverbs 16:26, the hungry man, his hunger drives him on, and that's why he keeps working. Where in verse 7, if a man's has a lot and he's already full, even honey tastes bitter to him. So it's very important to harness our sense of financial need, because that can help us work. And then three, we should not just talk about making a profit, but actually act to make a profit or become poor. Proverbs 14:23, that means get busy. And then while working, we must diligently produce quality products or become poor. Proverbs 10:4 and 18:9. It's very important to do a quality job on the job. Employers are watching that, because that affects the bottom line. Factor six, we must be opportunistic to be securely blessed with our livelihood. We should always pay attention to livelihood issues around us to take advantage of opportunities that arise for improving our livelihood welfare, be it another income source, lower costs, and so forth. There are two proverbs there, Proverbs 20:13 and 10:5. I believe one of them talks about how a son who sleeps in harvest is a son who's going to bring shame and poverty. During harvest is when you need to be out there working and harvesting. So if there's an opportunity that comes, we need to have a nose for opportunity and go after the opportunity. Then, we should be willing to shoulder some unexpected costs while venturing in promising business enterprises in order to produce a better livelihood in the long term. Proverbs 14:4 says, where the manger is clean of manure, there are no oxen, but more and much income comes through the strength of an ox. In other words, you have to be willing to put up with a little bit of manure if you're going to make success. Farmers, I used to work around dairy farmers because I delivered alfalfa hay to them, and they said, you have to put up with manure if you're going to make milk. Okay? And the same thing is true in business. You have to be willing to go ahead, and if you make an endeavor, you go in an area, there are going to be some hidden costs that you didn't count on. You have to kind of allow for that if you're really going to get ahead in life. It's very important. And then it's very important that we should constantly examine the current state of our livelihood, whether income, budgeting, spending, and so forth, without resting on what our accumulated wealth can provide. For accumulated wealth is never secure for a whole bunch of reasons. 1 Timothy 6:17 tells us that, as well as Proverbs 27:23-27. Factor 7, we need to be wary of the potential for sin by others to be securely blessed in our livelihood. One needs to value God's wisdom over material wealth in view of the potential for sin in others with whom we must financially interact. Proverbs 14:24, 16:16, 17:16, one of those Proverbs, I believe, says that the buyer says, it's awful, and then he goes away and boasts on what he bought. So, because of greed in the marketplace, what one says in the marketplace may be very different from what he's actually thinking. So we have to keep that in mind. Also, this involves being aware of how those who bribe others believe they can get a financial advantage in business dealings, Proverbs 17:8, and that they often succeed in such sinful bribes, Proverbs 18:16. I'm amazed when I read the Republican American how much financial corruption occurs even in government officials right within our own state. There's a lot of bribery that goes on, a sin that's just sort of shoved under the rug. But when it comes out, of course, people go to jail. We must also avoid becoming financially vulnerable to the financial actions of others who can sin by not becoming collateral for their loans. It's interesting, Proverbs 17:18, 22, 26, and 27, 27, 13, 20, verse 16, talk about how you don't want to leave your finances vulnerable to what somebody else does. Work independently of that. And one of those says, you know, if you want to go ahead and borrow, you're going to be a slave to the lender. So don't leave yourself vulnerable financially to the whims of other people. Factor number 8. We must generously help those in financial straits to be securely blessed with our livelihood. If we withhold financial help to others in financial straits, though we have the financial ability to help them, we will be despised and suffer loss if we ourselves ever need such help, Proverbs 21:13. However, if we help the afflicted, we will be financially blessed. There are a bunch of Proverbs on that, 11:24 and 11:26, 28:27. 19:17, 11:25, 22, verse 9. God wants us to keep, you know, he doesn't want us to enable people to remain in poverty, whereas they just become dependent upon us. But if we're talking about people who are in dire straits and they need help, it's very important to be able to be there and be able to help them out. Factor 9, we must be aware of the negative and positive power of words used in financial realms to be surely blessed and securely blessed in our livelihood. Negatively, a buyer can claim the product he is buying is bad only to go away and boast over the great deal he made in Proverbs 20:14, and a leech is always asking for more money, Proverbs 30, verse 15. So money coupled with sin in the human heart has a way of showing up in the wrongful use of words. Positively, a righteous nobleman is just as financially blessed by the good words he uses with others as is a laborer who is rewarded with material wages for his physical labor. Proverbs 12:14, 18:20, and chapter 20, verse 15. It's very important to watch how we use words. We can use words in a righteous way, in an edifying way, telling the truth and so forth, that will really help us out in our relationships with others. And relationships with others are important, especially in financial dealing. And then factor 10, we must delay instant gratification with what our money can buy so that we might plan how best to manage our income to be securely blessed with our livelihood. Incidentally, this is a characteristic of all self-made millionaires. Every single one of them are self-made, and I believe it's 97% of the millionaires in this country are self-made. They did not inherit it. They've practiced this. They've delayed gratification so that they can invest and plan and think about what they're supposed to do with their money. Practicing instant gratification with the money one has, earns, and earns leads to poverty. Even if a nobleman loves to indulge in wine and oil, he will never become wealthy, according to Proverbs 21:17. If one quickly borrows money for goods and services, he will be a slave to the lender, Proverbs 22, verse 7. If one wears himself out to become wealthy as a goal in life, he can become dejected as stored wealth can vanish. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. I read an article the other day on Yahoo.finance about what they say is the lazy investor and how they recommended that everybody become a lazy investor. What they meant by that was when you put your money in the investment, it should be for the long term, it should be a good enough investment that you can just ignore it for the next 15, 20 years and you'll make out real well. They say people who do that are ahead 10 to 20% over people who try to time the market. So that's what we need to do, is to be smart about how we do this. If one wears himself out to be rich, he can become dejected and stored wealth can vanish, according to Proverbs 3, 4, and 5. And then practicing delayed gratification and handling money one has or earns actually leads to wealth. The plans of those who are diligent lead to wealth, while haste leads to poverty. Proverbs 21:5. Warren Buffett, a great investor, said, when dumb money, and dumb money is a reference to people who don't know how to invest, they said, when dumb money realizes that it's not smart, it ceases to be dumb. Because what happens is they become cautious, they become careful, and they think. A faithful man who sticks to a time-tested way of handling money and budgeting, regular investing, saving, controlled spending, etc., will be richly blessed. But he who is pressed to become wealthy by making quick, rash decisions and actions will not go unpunished by those actions. Proverbs 28, verse 20. So this is a whole list of information that I've given to you, and I didn't intend everybody to absorb it all at once, but I put it out there because in discussions that I've had with people over the decades, insight in regards to just how to handle the money that we already have is really necessary, and it can make all the difference in the world. So the lesson is the book of Proverbs gives ample advice on securing a decent, secure livelihood with God's blessing. So may we trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life, John 3:16 and 1 Corinthians 15:1 to 11. And of course, that's the first step in righteousness, which addresses this whole issue of God's blessing financially. God tends to bless people, really bless people who get right with him. The blessing is much more evident there than if they don't. And we need Christ as our Savior. The Bible says all of us have sinned, all of us have come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is eternal separation from God. So I would encourage people, if you're here this morning and as yet you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't put it off. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Savior that you might have eternal life. And then may we heed God's wisdom for a good and a secure livelihood. In closing this message, I thought that I'm going to use a fitting summary that was made by Jesus for this summary. And he summed it up in Matthew 6:24 and 6:31 to 34. And the best translation that I'd like to use is the New American Standard Version. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And mammon can be interpreted as riches or money. "Do not be anxious then, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves?' For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. End of quote. So may we trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. And may we heed God's wisdom in Proverbs on livelihood issues for a good and a secure livelihood. Let's pray. Father, I'm so grateful for the fact that you're an incredibly practical God. And you've loaded up the book of Proverbs with guidance in regards to using the mammon of unrighteousness, as the Bible puts it. We're not supposed to fall in love with money. We're not supposed to worship it. We're not supposed to be greedy for it. At the same time, we live in a world where you have to have money in order to exchange for goods and services that we need. We need money in order to buy food, in order to have insurance, in order to put gas in the car so we can go to work in the grocery store and whatnot. So in a very practical way, we do need help. We do need wisdom in dealing with this issue. And I ask, Father, that as believers we would pay attention to the guidance that you provide us in your word, that we might live lives that are alleviated of a lot of unnecessary pressure financially, so that we can focus on serving you and living for you. We ask, Father, that if there's anyone who's listening to this message, either on the internet by way of the MP3 recording or who is in our service, who as yet does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, that he'd recognize as issue number one in regards to financial issues, he really needs to get into right relationship with God by believing in Christ so that he can be justified by God and come under the much more care of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.